Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Good morning to Dallas and everybody around the world. Good morning from Jerusalem, Israel. Now, I was originally going to teach from the Western Wall, but when we came here to the city of David, I decided that this is an amazing place to talk to you about Bible prophecy, to show you something that the world has not yet seen, and to talk to you about your part being involved with Bible prophecy. It's cold here in Jerusalem. It's a unique experience. Obviously, it's January. But as you can see around us, this is excavation in the city of David, right below the Temple Mount, that is taking place right now. Literally, just as Jesus said, the rocks will cry out and praise me, or prove the word of God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles up to the book of Amos, chapter 9. And if you don't know where Amos is, it's on page 1354. And as you turn, if you don't know where Amos is, go to the New Testament, go to Matthew and make a left a couple streets and you'll find the book of Amos. I want to talk to you about Bible prophecy. I want to talk to you about the coming of the Messiah. And I want to talk about how important it is to everybody in Israel, to the world, that you're involved with something that God said would happen 3,000 years ago. And I'm going to show you something that the public hasn't yet got to see. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. It says, on that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say, and this is about the coming of the Messiah, he doesn't say, I will raise up Solomon's temple. He says, first, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, I want you to understand, right on the other side of those walls, about 2 or 3 minute walk, is the ancient palace of David. They've discovered it. They know it 100%. Right over there, on the other side of that wall, about a 10-minute walk, is the Temple Mount. When the Messiah comes, he will set up and rule and reign on the Temple Mount. But that will take years to build. What the Scripture says is not first when the Messiah comes, he'll build the temple, but he will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Let me read it again. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. Now, I want you to listen to that. The tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, repair its damages, because I'm about to show you something. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the old days, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. That's the destruction of anti-Semitism. That's the destruction of the spirit of Amalek. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Now listen to this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, he who sows seed, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. That's the Aliyah that we're involved with. That's bringing the Jews back to the nation of Israel, exactly the way the prophet said would happen. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them, the Jewish people, in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. So we're looking at the tabernacle of David. We're looking at where Amos spoke this, the very land that Amos spoke this, right over the hills, is where David tended Jesse's sheep. That very land is where you and I are right now, today, right now. They are planting olive trees to produce olive oil that many say will be the olive oil that's used not only in the temple at the coming of the Messiah, but the tabernacle of David. The very land that you're planting olive trees in is now producing olive oil that will be used in the anointing of the Messiah, not only in the temple, but before the temple, when the Messiah comes in a twinkling of an eye, in the tabernacle of David. Now, let me show you something. Follow me in here. This, obviously, is not open to the public. We get to come in because we have favor, and this is something that is shouting to all of us. We have work to do. We have little time to do it. The Messiah is coming, and the blessing of God is coming with him. Come on in. Look at this. Now, obviously, this looks like we're underground, and they have platforms built above us to keep the walls and the dirt and the rocks from falling down on us as they're excavating. But in reality, at the time of King David, and I remember his palace is only a couple minutes over there, right on the hill, right here. This is all open hillside. Below us is the spring of Gihon. And that spring is a living mikveh, a baptismal tank. Now, why is that important? Come in, I'll show you. You can see ancient pilgrims behind us here. Now look at here. This has been discovered not too long ago. And if you notice, as Zev said, this what we're seeing here wasn't built by man, but it was chiseled out by man. Now remember, the spring is right below us. This is an open hillside to the world. If you look here, this is obviously an olive oil press. The timber would have come out of here. The stone would have been there. The olive oil used for anointing would have run into this vat. Now come with me. Not only do we have the olive oil used in anointing, but if you come up here, we have what is believed to be an altar of sacrifice. Let's say you laid a lamb here for sacrifice unto the Lord. The lamb would be killed. The blood would run down this, run down the hill. Remember, even though we're covered by platforms right now, this is an open area. This would have been an open to the world place to come and worship. Now come with me over here. As we come over to this part, we see, now this is covered obviously for protection, but if we can shine a light in, we can see here an altar for prayer. So here we have the place of making oil for anointing. We have a place for the sacrifice of a lamb, the blood running down. We have here a place where a man would kneel to pray unto God, a prayer altar. And then we have, if you can look over here, we have some kind of special storage. So think about this. God tells us that one of the greatest prophetic signs to mankind is Israel returning to the land. Amos says not only will Israel return to the land, the Jewish people, and they'll never be plucked up again, but he says Gentiles, you and I, are to have a part of bringing them in on our shoulders and in our arms. And he says, this will be a sign of the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David. We're minutes away from the Temple Mount. We are a few steps away from the ancient palace of David. When the temple was built, they were instructed that every private place of worship was to be destroyed. What Zeb showed us here is that not only was this place of worship and prayer and sacrifice not destroyed, and a few minutes from David's palace, a few minutes from the Temple Mount, this would not be something that was hidden. Everybody would have known. On the hillside, in a natural spring, in a natural mikveh, this would have been well known. But yet, instead of being destroyed, it was preserved. They know that this was not accidentally covered, but covered so that it would be preserved. Why would this place, a few steps from David's palace, a few couple minutes from the Temple Mount, just right up the hill from the mikveh, the natural spring, why would this place be not only not destroyed, but purposely preserved? In a minute, we're going to end the message with going on to the pilgrimage road, the road that Jews and Gentiles walk together. If you remember, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I'll probably tell the story when we get over there, said, we know for a fact that my ancestors, Jews, walked with the first Christians. They walked that road together. Zev said, we know that Jesus walked that road. They know 100% that that's the road that Jews and Christians walk together. What's significant about the Tabernacle of David? The Tabernacle of David was a place of worship where the wall between Jews and Gentiles was down. And when God saw that the wall was down, he didn't need a Holy of Holies anymore. Could it be that the Ark of the Covenant was in there? Absolutely. Could it be that David prayed at that altar? Absolutely. Could it be that they had sacrifice before the temple was built on that altar and the blood of the lamb would flow down? Absolutely. Could it be that they made anointing oil? Absolutely. Could it be that God is saying to the world right now, I want to, not physically, but I want to spiritually rebuild the tabernacle of David. And we have our part. You know, we were up there talking and Zev made an interesting statement. God only does what God does when we do what we're supposed to do in partnering with God. And so we know 100% that that is the pilgrimage road. We know that without a shadow of a doubt. Is this the tabernacle of David? Well, as Zev said, we don't know 100% that it is. But I think it's pretty clear that God is saying, here's an example, open to the world, a place of worship where Jews and Gentiles can come together and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What God is showing us in the physical, he is saying to us in the spiritual. As God is revealing to the world that this city was the city of David, this place was the place of worship, this is where Jews and Gentiles could worship God together. God is saying that to us. We have a job to do, that God will rebuild the tabernacle of David, and it can't be done except you're helping doing it. Now, we're going to go over the pilgrimage road, but I just wanted to show you this. That road is proof to the world that what God says in his word is absolutely true. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just old stories. It is absolutely true. And just as true as this exists, and just as true as the pilgrimage road exists, it is also true that the wall between Jews and Gentiles, we are brothers in God. The wall between Jews and Gentiles is coming down. And what's that going to lead to? Just like in the time of David, signs, wonders, and miracles. Let's go to the road. Come from what we believe and is going to be proved is the tabernacle of David. You know, in ancient Hebrew, there's no word for, and I know you're all saying coincidence. There's no word for coincidence. In other words, we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. What is it that God is saying to us? What is God saying to us when we discover what very probably is the tabernacle of David? The representation of unity between Jews and Christians. Right now, we're on the pilgrimage road. If you can see all the way down there, and by the way, it goes about 200 feet that way and about 1,700 feet up to the Temple Mount. And it's about five or six times as wide as what you see right now. What is God saying that at this time, not a coincidence, this time in history, when God is bringing Jews and Gentiles together, when God is bringing us back to the Jewish roots of the Bible, to understand when Jesus says it's written in the Torah, God bringing us back to the revelation, and all of a sudden, after 2,000 years, not somewhere close to this, not stones that were like this, this is the very stones that Jesus, that Jews, that Gentiles walked on. If you read John chapter 7, John chapter 8, John chapter 9, when God is talking about the pilgrimage from the Pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mount, this is the road. Not in theory, not, well, that's by your faith. This is proof of exactly what the Bible says. You know, as I walk up this road and believe in miracles, God says to us, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel. God is saying to the world, you know what? We've been wrong in a lot of things. God's saying to the church, we've been wrong in a lot of things. And this road and the tabernacle of David, to me, is symbolic of us admitting as a church we've been wrong. And it's symbolic of how important it is that Christians and Jews come together. You know, when I was over here last month in December, I had the privilege of being with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And it was all politicians except for me. I was the only pastor, the religious leader of the group. And they were asking political questions. But at the end, Josh Reinstein said, we have time for one more question for the Prime Minister. Pastor Larry, you're the only pastor here. What question do you have? And right there, as close as I am to you, or closer than I am to you, I looked at Prime Minister Netanyahu and I said, how important is it, the discovery of the pilgrimage road? This road right here. How important is that? And he said these words. He said, it is proof that my ancestors, the Jewish people, and the Christians together walked this road. Yeah. It is proof that God had unity between Jews and Christians, and it is proof, once again, that God is bringing unity, and your part is so vitally important. Let me read you scripture in John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, and that he was born blind. And Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed. You know, I can't help but be moved emotionally as Tiz is here with us. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle of God that she's here with us. Luke is here with us. He's behind the camera. And Lion has received his miracle.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the reasons God gave us that miracle is because God says in Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless Israel.
Yeah.
When you and I stand with the nation of Israel, and it's getting easier, but there are still many who say, no, we've replaced Israel. We're the new Israel. That's a lie.
Yes.
This road shouts to the world that once upon a time, Jews and Gentiles walked together to that temple to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to me, this road is shouting. I'm letting you see it again, because before long, the Messiah will rule and reign in Jerusalem. And what will quicken that to happen is Jews and Gentiles. Maybe you'll never physically walk this road until the Messiah comes. But spiritually, God is calling you to make your pilgrimage back to the nation of Israel, the land of Israel. When Jesus prayed for that man, he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That pool of Siloam is right down there. It's been there for 2,000 years. But it wasn't until, I think, 2004, by a coincidence, a sewage pipe broke. They started digging to repair it. But because this is the city of David, they had to bring archaeologists in. And as they were digging it, they discovered the steps. And they said, there's only one other place steps like this are found anywhere in Israel, and it's the Temple Mount steps. You and I have been there many times. And when they began to dig down, they found the Pool of Siloam. The Pool of Siloam was a giant mikvah, baptismal tank. 3 million people, almost 3 million people on Passover would have gone into that mikvah, come out cleansed, ready to walk before God. Walk this road. This right here is where preachers would have preached. You can see behind stones there, those were stones of shops. Those were stones where the money changers would change the money. These are one of these shops is where Jesus would have turned the table over, because they were damaging people's worshiping of God by cheating them in the house of God or on their way to the house of God. But this is where somebody would have been standing. You know, we're 60 feet below ground right here. There are houses above us, and so that's why you see all these archways. They're supporting the houses.
Right.
But this would have been at one time all open air.
Yeah.
And so, as 3 million people were three times a year coming, bringing their offering before the Lord, somebody would have been standing here and talking about the things of God.
Mm.
Here we are, 2,000 years later, and we are saying to you, and you are saying to the world, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
They walked this road believing God would give them a miracle. We walk this road today, and we know God is bringing you a miracle.
Absolutely.
When you bless Israel, God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Mekadesh, Jehovah Shalom, when you bless Israel, the God of Israel will bless you.
Amen.
You want to say something?
I'm good.
I'm good. She's done good. This is the first time she's walked in 6 months, walked anywhere in 6 months. I think it's fitting. She walks the streets of Jerusalem. We love you guys from Jerusalem. Come up.
Yes.
Scotty, Anna, Katie, Scott's holding the light. Scott's being a grip today. So from our family
yes.
to your family. Come on in, Scott. No, come on, come in. From our family to your family, we want to say God bless you. Can we pray for you? Father, we know that you're a God of miracles. We know that you're a God that heals the sick. We know that you're a God that delivers those that are captive. We know that you're a God that forgives and saves.
Yes.
And we ask right now that the anointing of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from the road the pilgrims walk to the temple, the anointing of God goes from Jerusalem to you. Lift your hand up right now. We release this
yes.
onto your life. And may God use you greatly. May God bless you greatly so that he can use you greatly
yes,
to tell the world, together we stand with the people and the nation of Israel. From Jerusalem to Dallas and around the world,
amen.
We love you guys.
Love you.
We'll see you in a couple days. Bye-bye.